After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Whenever you have an argument with another person, whenever you and another human, man or woman, doesn't matter, has an argument, you have wiggle room inside of that argument. If they bring something that you've done wrong against them to you, possibly, maybe, and actually a pretty good chance, you have an out. You can get out of it. In the first place, it might be a misunderstanding. They misheard you say something that you didn't actually say, or they misunderstood something that you did say. They just took it in the wrong way. Or something that you did, they didn't have all the facts, and in actuality, you didn't do anything wrong. Or perhaps you have an out in this. You did do something wrong, but you say to them, "I did wrong, but I'm sorry. Let's just move on from this." Or if neither of those works, if the first one doesn't work, that explaining it away doesn't happen, and the apology isn't accepted, of course there is this big one. You can turn their cannons around on them. You can say to them, "Well, yes, but here is how you contributed to what I just said and did that was wrong. Sure, it was wrong, but here's what you did, and how it's actually your fault, or if not that, here's something you did last week or last month that was even worse than what you are saying that I did here and now." You can point to them, to their mistakes. Or if neither of those three works, there's always just restitution. I did wrong, but I will make up for it. I will pay you back. You will be made whole. When we have conflicts with other people, there are pathways, avenues, to a resolution, to making the thing right. Any one of these, or surely there's other examples that I left out. You can explain it away. You can promise not to do it again. You can leverage them into their own guilt for their own sins, or promise compensation. With people, it is possible, when there's sin, to make it out of it scot-free and clean. But not with God. Foolish people think that we can relate to God the same way that we relate to other people, that just how we treat each other and interact with each other, that's how it also works with God. They think that when we sin, well, we can explain to God the exception, how I'm actually exceptional in this circumstance. What I did wasn't actually a sin, you see, Lord, and your criteria, it's a little heavy here. We try and explain it away, like we do with people. We try also to say, "Look, I'm simply sorry for it. It won't happen again," making the promise that, "Yes, I did this, but I'm not going to do it again, so don't look at what I did, because I promise future behavior that will be much better than my past behavior." Or perhaps we do the third option. We plead to him our circumstances. Okay? Remember what happened in Eden when Adam was caught with his sin? Who did he blame? Eve, but also God himself, the woman that you gave me, God. She gave me the fruit, and I ate of it. And we can turn the cannons around on God, so the fool thinks. And of course, also the fourth option. I'm going to make God whole. I have sinned against God, but it's okay. I'm going to pile up good works. At least good works, good enough. And that's going to make up for the deep hole of sin that I have dug myself into. We all know, though, that none of this works. None of this gets us out of God coming to us with a just accusation of our own sin. God has each one of us in this room and everywhere in the world dead to rights when it comes to a righteousness that is owed to him that we have not paid. And on top of that, insult to injury, as far as we're concerned, we don't even have the right or claim for clemency, for mercy. Which is what makes Good Friday, this day that we celebrate, all the more amazing, all the more magnificent, all the more wonderful. Jesus Christ didn't have to go to the cross. Nothing that we are, nothing that we did compelled him to. He wasn't paying out something, a favor that he owed to us. No, Jesus didn't have to go to the cross out of compulsion. Jesus went to the cross out of love. He went out of the love of the Father for the world in sending his Son. Jesus went out of love for the Father in being obedient and love for you and me. Not for good people, but love for sinful people. People that don't deserve not even a dot of mercy. He went to the cross and he did what he did for us. He suffered unjustly, the pains of a death and a condemnation that we deserve. He suffered the pain and the agony of being turned away from by God the Father himself. And he did it for us. Now, some people wonder, well, where's the catch in this? What's the hook? What is being held back? It's not being revealed now. Maybe he benefits. How does God himself benefit in doing this? Just to get a little bit more leverage on us? No, the marvelous reality is there is no catch. Jesus died for sinners, for you and me, freely out of a gift, full stop. That's it. Good Friday is the cosmic truth on display for all to see. Mankind is saved purely by God's grace. Sinners are justified by a God that does it freely as a gift. Things that we deserve, all that is evil, dark, and negative in this world, Jesus took to himself. And the reward and the blessing, the gift, the life and salvation that only he has ever deserved, he gives freely to us in exchange. What an explanation of our sins to God. What an apology for them, just the bare apology itself. What a countercharge that it's really God's fault that we're sinners. What restitution promised to God could never do, Jesus Christ did. That's Good Friday. And so for this reason, there are three things that I want you to take away. The first is that you remember not just tonight, whenever we have Good Friday each year, not just on Saturday night or Sunday morning when we gather together as Christians, but that you remember this truth, that the cross is your life and your salvation. You remember it every day of your life. When you wake up, when you go to work, when you eat meals, when you go to sleep, that you remember that salvation is a gift for you, freely won and given. And that remembering that, you do the second, and that is that you thank and praise God. You don't receive this abundant gift that you didn't deserve and then just take it for granted, living as if, well, it is assumed, but no. Remembering it, you say, God, I am an awful sinner. You did this for me. How can I praise you? How can I thank you? What words of mine can capture the gratitude that is in my heart? And having remembered, having thanked, and having praised him, do this third thing and do this often. Pray to your God and Father, that when you are on your deathbed, and if our Lord does not come back in your lifetime, you will have a deathbed, that you will remember the cross, that you will remember not the sins of your youth, Not your mistakes, your transgressions, not the times that you turned from God or ignored from God, but that you will remember that Jesus Christ died for you as if you were the only person that ever existed. Pray to him that that will be what your mind and heart beholds before you leave this life and enter the next. Because I promise you, with that as your faith, your hope, and your mind's eye's goal, you will have what the thief on the cross heard. Today you will be with me in paradise. To the same Savior, Jesus Christ, be all glory now and forever. Amen.